I have received one-on-one coaching from Antonio for about 5 years now, and I would say that it has helped me in ways I never dreamed of. I am not the same person that I was 5 years ago. I'm not the same person that I was 12 months ago. I'm not the same person that I was at the beginning of this week. And it's due in part to Antonio's patience and coaching. He has taken me to places. He has pushed me beyond what I wanted to be pushed. He has inspired me to be better. He has motivated me to be better. And he has walked me into the life that I have now. And I'm grateful for it. So I hope that you accept the challenge. You accept the challenge to be greater. You know, we struggle through life, and you don't have to struggle alone. Like, there are people out here that can help us get to the places that we dream of and the places we never would have imagined. And Antonio is definitely one of those people. So if you're looking for someone to guide you, just put you on the right path and give you tips and resources and encouragement along the way, I definitely recommend Antonio's one-on-one coaching.
Five, live at five. We're having a good time. Welcome and thank you for being here at the Plant Better Mindset Call. This call is designed to pour into you so you can pour into the lives of others. My name is Antonio T. Smith Jr., and I will be your farming partner, as we would love to help you plant seeds that are worthy of the quality of life that you so desire. Listen, at this time, I want to let you know that we're going to move into our announcement period. If this is your first time joining us, if you have missed a couple of episodes, don't worry about it. All is well. I want to tell you that maybe you missed a couple of episodes of our Plant Better Farm, a Plant Better Mindset phone call, and that's okay. Visit us at revtony.org/plantbetter. At that time, you will be able to get us and find previous phone calls and sign up for our newsletter. There'll be newsletters going out tomorrow morning at about 5:15 in the morning. That'll be an audio meditational mindset phone call. The first five, that's five, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The first five people, the first five new subscribers that go to the from this Plant Better Mindset call that goes to the website, revtony.org, and sign up to the newsletter, you will receive an email that allows for you to download one of my most popular coaching series that will help you develop the mind of a wealthy person. Make sure you take advantage of this free and additional coaching opportunity as a thank you for being brave enough to change the quality of your life by calling in to the Plant Better Mindset phone call. This opportunity is only for new subscribers. Remember, the first five new subscribers from tonight's call that go to revtony.org and sign up for the motivational, meditational, audio mindset email that will go out every morning, you can get a free coaching series that is free of charge to you, that is one of the most popular and very helpful, that will help you get a mindset of a wealthy person. At this time, I also want to let you know, we have a very popular top 10 rated Brick by Brick motivational podcast. This is both a motivational podcast and a business and financial investing podcast that you can find on iTunes and Podomatic. To access either of these platforms, simply visit iTunes from your podcast on your phone or on your Apple phone, or search Brick by Brick if you have Podomatic. Either one of these platforms, it does not matter. We are there. If you miss any of this particular phone call, if you think you missed something, don't worry about it. Don't stress. You are more than welcome to download that, or you'll hear this phone call on that podcast. As well, to follow our podcast on Twitter, you can search us at, or you can find us at Brick by Brick Pod. Again, that's Brick by Brick P-O-D. Get ready, because it is about to go down. Lastly, I do offer one-on-one coaching. There are many people on this phone call at this very moment whose lives, incomes, relationships have drastically changed as a result of my one-on-one coaching. If you are interested, email us at coaching@revtony.org to schedule a free coaching session to see if we are a good fit for one another. Again, if you're on this call, if you're ready to make a change, grab a pen, grab a piece of paper, or use the note app on your smartphone. If you're ready for it, if you're pumped up, if you're ready to learn, change the quality of your life, get on social media. Get on Facebook, Twitter, whatever your favorite social media is, LinkedIn, doesn't matter. If you hear something that resonates with your spirit or resonates with your spirit man, or whatever you want to call them, or speaks to your situation, quote it by using the hashtag PlantBetter. Again, get ready, because in the next second, we're getting ready to start. So if you're ready, grab a pen, grab a piece of paper, grab your note app. If you're ready, get on social media, tell everybody. If you hear something and you get it in your spirit, use the hashtag PlantBetterNow. Let us begin. Tonight, I want to coach you through using fear to motivate yourself. It does not matter if you're wealthy or poor, middle class, Jew or Gentile, Catholic or Protestant, we all experience fear. And the deal is, fear is something that we need to get past, and it's also something that could be quite useful for us. So tonight, I'm going to give you 9 things in order to help you move past your fear and use your fear as motivation for yourself. Again, I'll repeat that for the people who are just calling in, and for you, I have 9 things that I want to give to you for you to be able to use your fear to motivate yourself. Here is number one. Number one, hate being scared. I hope you wrote that down. Hate being scared. This is one of the very few times that I would ever tell you to hate anything, because hate is not something that I would teach or give to you or coach you through, because it's a negative vibe. But I'm going to spin this one into a positive vibe. You need to hate positively. Like, you need to learn how to love to hate being scared. Moving into fear is the hardest thing that you'll ever have to do. So moving against your fear is something that is very hard to do. So here's what you need to do. You need to hate being afraid. Learn how to love, hate being afraid. Most of you are not where you want to be at life, not because you're unskilled, not because you're untalented, but simply because the feeling of fear paralyzes you, and you never get to where you need to be because fear rose up and you stopped in your tracks. Moving against your fear is very hard to do. And here's the deal. It expresses or exposes vulnerability and the possibility that something scary is ahead, or that new thing that you want to do might not work. But that entire result is only in your head. Listen, this is what I just said. Moving against your fear is something very hard for you to do because it expresses a vulnerability. So whenever you feel fear, you get a vulnerability. Whenever you feel fear, the possibility that that new thing you're trying to do may not working out is something that scares you to death. When that happens, I need for you to understand, fear doesn't exist. It is only inside of your head. Write this down. Fear is the hypothetical outcome that has not occurred yet that has you frozen in place. Fear is the hypothetical outcome that has not occurred yet that has you frozen in place. The things that you are fearing have not manifested themselves into your physical reality, but you're so afraid of what hasn't happened yet, it is dictating your future, your present behavior right now. Many of you are you're so afraid that the things that are imaginary, they're in the back of you. You have literally went through option 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, talked yourselves out of the right thing to do, and then you went to 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 and said, well, this is a possibility. And the truth is, none of those things are going to happen, but you're frozen in fear for things in your head that have not occurred yet. Let me see if I can put this to you in a personal way. A lot of you are so afraid to apologize to the person that you're in relationship with, because if you apologize, you show yourself vulnerable, and you don't want to give up that power, because the moment you give that power up is the moment that that person will take advantage of you. I need for you to hear me. Ladies and gentlemen, that thing will probably never happen. Just because it happened with your ex-boyfriend or your ex-girlfriend, or just because it happened with your current person right now, 2 years ago, doesn't mean it is going to happen today, and you're missing out on what life has to offer you via of the way of love and relationships, because you're too afraid to be vulnerable. Fear does not exist. Here is another thing. Fear would turn you against your playful heart. I want you to think about this, ladies and gentlemen. When you were a child, being playful, having a good time, you can literally do whatever it is that you wanted to do without fear of failure, because failure didn't exist, because you were not too afraid. And whatever it was, every time you had a playful heart, you enjoyed life. Think about it. You guys are so grown now that you haven't bought yourself anything new since the 9th grade. You haven't bought yourself anything new since 2002. Why? Because you're so afraid to spend, you're so afraid to do this, that you haven't enjoyed anything because you've lost your playful heart. The reason why your marriage is suffering right now, the reason why your relationships are suffering right now, is because you've lost your playful heart. You were very playful when you met the love of your life, and now you're no longer playful, and you're wondering why you're having problems in your relationships. Or maybe it's on your job. You can no longer have a good time at your job because you no longer have a playful heart. If you cannot have a playful heart, then you cannot laugh. And if you cannot laugh, why did you wake up this morning? Listen, if you woke up this morning with no intentions to laugh and have a playful heart, you are living your life in the wrong manner. Number one, hate being scared. Now, I'm just going to put this out as a disclaimer. I'm going to give you number two. That's going to be a bit soft. After number two, I'm going to walk hard for the rest of this phone call, so brace yourself. Here's number two. Accept that fear happens. Deal with it. Accept that fear happens. Deal with it. Ladies and gentlemen, nothing is certain. The only thing that is certain is that you're going to pay taxes and you're going to die. After that, nothing in this life is certain. It is not certain that you'll wake up tomorrow morning. So you might as well go all out and do not live in fear, because your life warns that you are allowed to live a victorious life. Listen to what I just said. I cannot guarantee you that you're going to make it to the end of this phone call. But what I can tell you without certainty is that if you don't get out of fear, it won't matter if you wake up in the morning, or even if you do wake up in the morning, you will be dead on the inside because you're stuck in fear. There is nothing that is certain, so get up and relax and enjoy your life. Those who constantly run away from their fears, they always run for the rest of their lives. Those who constantly run away from fear will always run for the rest of their lives. Fear is going to happen. You might as well deal with it. And if you decide to run away from that thing you fear now, you will run away from it for the rest of your life. It is a well-known fact that people who can embrace their fears and face them head on are happier, better developed, and more equipped to handle life's ups and downs. Listen to what I just said. It is a well-known fact, not a theory. It is a fact that those who can handle their fears live a better life, are better developed in life, and are able to handle life's ups and downs a lot easier. Sit down with fear, get to know it, then hate it with a passion. Develop an incredible work ethic, and if you don't want fear to stop you, work your butt off. Why does that matter? Listen, if fear is going to happen, if fear is going to pop up, then you might as well work your butt off. Why? Because if you know your craft, if you know your skill, if nobody works harder than you, when fear happens, muscle memory will take over. You won't have to think. You will just do, because you do it hard as you can in practice. Listen to me. Usain Bolt says it this way. You cannot expect to show up at the finish line and win. The hard work happens in practice. Now, that's the easy part. Number three, if you're going to do anything on this phone call, you need to hear number three, and you need to remember number nine for the rest of your life. Three and nine, the rest of this is good, but three and nine, but I just want to tell you right now, take a deep breath, take another deep breath, blow it out, because it's about to get rough. Number three, move against your fears. The most influential person in your life is you. And you don't get to blame anybody else for why you cannot do anything when you are the most influential person in your life. Listen. Stop blaming people for why you mistreat them. The reason you mistreat them is because you are too afraid to treat them nicely. The reason you mistreat your coworkers, the reason you mistreat your significant others is because you are too afraid to grow and you are a coward. The meanest people in the world are the most cowardly people in the world because they are too afraid to treat people nicely, because if they treat people nicely, then those people have the freedom to respond back to them. And most of you are treating people in a negative manner because you don't want them to respond. And the only response that you want them to have is a response that you control. And the reason why many of you are negative is because you're scary, low down cowards, and you're too afraid to admit it. Cowardly people are negative. People who abuse people are negative. And people who mistreat others are negative. And all those cowardly, negative, mistreating coworkers and significant other people are scary people. Why? Because the only way for you to let someone else have an opinion, the only way for you to listen to someone else's idea, the only way for you to allow someone else to smile when you didn't control their smile is for you to get off your high horse and for you to give them the power to be great. And most of you are too afraid to give other people the power to be great, because if you give them the power, they might actually let you down. And that's the truth. Most of you are too afraid to let other people shine, because if they shine, they remind you of how much you suck. And if they shine, you have to look in their shine and realize you are not where you desire to be. And that is a big fear for you. Most of you refuse to let people shine because you're too afraid to look at yourself in the mirror. At the same time, most of you are too afraid to let people do their own thing. So since you think they're going to mess up, you micromanage them. Now, I know I've got I got some self-motivated people over the phone right now. As a matter of fact, most of you on this phone call, you called into this mindset phone call because you are motivated. You don't need anyone to tell you what to do. And let me tell you something. The bosses, the first line supervisors, the wives, whoever it is, those people who micromanage others are the people who are too afraid to let other people have an opportunity to do something without you telling them what to do. When you are too afraid to let the outcome be what it is, you micromanage people. And listen to the next thing I'm about to say. If you want to lift, if you want to lead, if you want to lose good people, micromanage them. Don't worry about it. I'll clap right there all by myself. Listen to what I just said. If you want to lose self-motivated leaders who are fire starters, who will get the job done, you want to lose them, then micromanage them. And let me do you a favor. If you have any of these people in the technology industry, if you're running a music company, a technology industry, or if you have anybody raising capital and you're scary, do me a favor. Go out there and micromanage them right now, the good people, just the good people, and then give them all my phone number because I want to hire them. When they leave you, I want them to come to my enterprises so I can hire them. If you, Andy Stanley says it this way, a leader who will not listen to what his people have to say will eventually be surrounded by people with nothing to say. I'll say that again. Don't quote me. Quote Andy Stanley. Just use the hashtag plant better. Andy Stanley says it this way. People who do not, a leader who does not listen to his people will eventually be surrounded by people with nothing to say. What does that mean? That means all the people who had ideas, all the people who could have changed your income and changed your business, you ran them off because you wouldn't listen to their ideas. And now you're only stuck with the people who are not leaders, who don't want anything to do. They just want to get their check and go home and eat their cheese sandwich and drink their red wine or their beer and come back to work and make no noticeable differences. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you're too afraid to listen to the people under you, if you're too afraid to listen to the people around you, those people will come and find someone like me to come work for. So if you have a high turnaround at your job and you're not in the food industry, here's the deal. You may be a leader. You may be a leader who does not listen to their people. The most influential person in your life is you. So stop blaming other people for your problems. You're influencing your problems. You're influencing those other people. And stop blaming other people because you're too scared to lead properly. You are greater than fear. Don't you ever let nobody control you, and stop letting fear control you. Most of you are letting fear control you, and here's how fear is controlling you. You're at a job you cannot stand because you're too afraid to be the new person on another job. I'll say that again. Most of you are too afraid to go to a new place. Most of you are too afraid to go to a new job and be the new guy or the new girl. So you stay at a sorry, low-paying, abusive, no complimenting, I only get 15-minute breaks and I don't get even take a lunch break job. You are stuck at a job that is paying you $7.25 an hour when you are worth every bit of $90 an hour because you're too afraid to leave that job because you don't want to be the new person at another place. Now, I'm not telling you to quit your job, but I am definitely telling you that if that job is not worthy of you, get off your duff. Stop being afraid and apply for the job that is actually worth the quality of your life. And here's the deal. Some of you have every opportunity to invent that new product you keep. And listen, a lot of you go, man, if they just built this, if they invented this, ooh, I have. A lot of you build inventions inside your head 50 times a day. You have million-dollar inventions in your head, but you never go through with them because you're too afraid to go out there and be an entrepreneur. You need to stop living in fear. I'll say it again. You are greater than fear. Sometimes we fly. Sometimes we crash and we burn. But either way, we're guaranteed to end up somewhere new. Listen, I don't care if you crash or burn, be successful. If you're moving forward, you will always be moving towards your goals. But remember, all of you guys who are in fear, you're not moving. And here's how that works. Inaction, by scientific definition, is actually an action. It's just not an action that serves you. Inaction is actually an action. It is just not an action that serves you. Now, here's the deal. Some of you right now, you're going, well, you know what, Tony? I got that down. I'm at the top. Listen, if you're at the top of your game, and thank you. Good job for being at the top of your game. But you're not working on being better. If you're not making improvements, if you're not working on being better, and you're not working on improvements, and you're at the top, you're actually going backwards. How are you going backwards? Because somebody underneath you wants your spot. And the more you don't try to get better, is the more they are getting better, and it's the more they are coming from your number one spot. Let's walk a little bit. If you thought that was hard, let's get a little bit more harder. People who do not move against their fears die full of dreams. Hashtag plant better. People who do not move against their fears die full of their dreams. If you are too afraid to move against your fears, you will die filled with your dreams. You would be in a cemetery with worms eating you all in your eye sockets and going throughout your skull and tearing up your flesh, full of dreams that we deserve to see on your shelf. How can I buy your new app if you're too afraid to build it? How can I go to your new church if you're too afraid to plant it? How can I read your new book if you're too afraid to even write the introduction? If you do not move past your fears, you will die in the cemetery filled with your dreams. It makes no sense to be both filled with dreams and filled with fears. You need to choose a struggle. And if you're going to choose the struggle of being filled with fears, you will also be filled with your dreams. Your job is to live full and die empty. Now, if you thought that was hard, let's walk a little bit harder. People who do not move against their fears teach their children to be mediocre and poor. I said it. Yes, yes, I did. People who do not move against their fears teach their children to be mediocre and poor. Listen to me, all you parents that are on this phone right now. You think your children don't see you cower in fear. You think your children don't see you go back to school and complain about how you can't go back to school. You think your children don't see that you're overweight and you actually want to lose weight, but you're too afraid to go do it. If you think for one second that your children don't watch more than what you think they watch, think about it when you were a child. Now, I want you to think about this here for a second. How much do you know that your parents have no idea that you know about? How many arguments did you see your parents have that they thought you know nothing about? How many times have you seen your parents skip meals so you can eat and they thought that you didn't see it? I'm telling you, your children are watching more and they're learning more than you're ever teaching them. They're catching everything that you're doing. Forget what you're teaching. They're catching what you're doing. And if you are living a life underneath the radar and underneath your dreams, you're teaching your children to do the same thing. And I have a message for you. You are a killer, and you're the worst kind of killer there is, because you're killing your child's confidence. If you have low confidence, you are putting and you're raising a child with low confidence. And don't get mad at the bullies that are going to school bullying your low confidence child when they learn their low confidence from you. If you're too afraid to live your dreams, your children will be bullied in school. Your children will have bad credit and your children will be more likely than any other children to live their dreams because they learned it from their mom and because they learned it from their dad. I know that one hurts, but it's not my job to just make you feel good. It is my job to teach you transformation. This is why there's a difference between motivational speakers and transformational speakers. Yeah, I'm a transformational speaker. Sometimes I rip your skin off. If you think that was hard, I have another one. Let's go even harder. People who do not move against their fears often don't own passports. Watch this here. If you don't have a passport, you are living in fear. There's a direct correlation of people who stay inside their comfort zone all day and stay inside their house with a direct correlation that if you have a passport. Listen to what I just said. If you're too afraid to get out your comfort zone, you are most certainly not traveling the world. And what is the point of living this life if all you see is your small town, Texas? If all you see is your big metropolitan city? Listen, if you are not living your dreams and if you are stuck in fear, I guarantee you, you do not have a passport. That's okay. I'll wait. Yeah, go check. Yeah, you see, no passport. Here's the deal. Don't you live in this world and not be able to go see Rome. Don't live in this world and not see France. Don't live in this world. If an ideal getaway for you is going to San Antonio to see the boardwalk, you're tripping. Listen, you need to go somewhere else. If you're Christian, right? If you're religious and you love the Bible, but you too afraid to go see where the Bible actually happened, which is not in America, you're in fear. And how can you truly relate to your Bible if you never walk in Jerusalem where he walked himself? Now, if you're not religious, that's okay. Ain't no point in you sitting here denying the fact that you're afraid. If you're afraid, you also do not have a passport. If you think that was hard, I apologize. Here's more hard walking. People who do not move against their fears often find themselves in physically and emotionally abusive relationships. That's on both sides. People who do not move against their fears, they're either being bullied or they are the bully. Bullies are cowards who are too afraid to show their weaknesses, so they bring out the weaknesses in others. Yes, I said that. Bullies are cowards who are too afraid to show their weaknesses, so they bring out the weaknesses in others. Bullies are too afraid to be weak. They won't apologize. And so if you're in a relationship and you're always a bully, you're a coward. Stop being a coward. Let that person love you enough. Oh, you love that person enough to stand up and actually have confidence. How dare you be so afraid that you pull somebody all the way down to your low self-esteem so you can handle them right where you are? You're a coward. Let them live up, and you jump up to their level. Don't worry about it. I'll clap for that one myself. If you are a bully, you are a coward. Now, here's the other end of that. If you are afraid, you're dealing with bullies, and you're in an emotionally abusive relationship, and you're in a physically abusive relationship. Why? Because you're too afraid to deal with someone who will love you for yourself. Let me tell you how that looks. If you can't take a compliment, you're someone who lives in fear and someone who is more than likely in an abusive relationship. Here's how people who can't take compliments go. If I say, that's a nice dress, and you immediately feel uncomfortable and you look down, you're living in fear. Somebody taught you to fear yourself, your body, your smile, your physique, whatever it is, and you're more than likely with someone, married or however, with someone who is abusive towards you. I apologize for these facts, but they are facts nevertheless, and that is the way it works. Fear is the real enemy. It's not your spouse. It's not your cousin. It's not your dad. It's not your brother. Fear is the enemy. Not the person you're married to. Not the boss you can't stand. Fear is the enemy. Get mad at the right enemy, not at the person. Learn to identify what the real problem is. And if it's not the person on the outside, it's the person on the inside. You're not weak. Your fear is weak, or your fear is so strong it's making you weak. Tackle your fear, and you'll also find your strength. Hashtag plant better. Tackle your fear, and you'll also find your strength. Check this out. You cannot fly and be afraid of turbulence at the same time. You cannot fly and be afraid of turbulence at the same time. Listen, how are you going to fly to new heights and you're afraid of turbulence? You can't have both. You cannot have both. You cannot be willing. You cannot have the desire to fly, but also be afraid of turbulence. You can't do both. You have to pick a struggle. You're going to either be afraid of the turbulence, or you're going to either be afraid of the flight. But either way, you're going to have to be afraid, or you're going to be not afraid. And here's the deal. Being courageous is not the absence of fear. It's the courage to move through the fear while fear is present. You cannot fly and be afraid of turbulence at the same time. Now, hear this here. This is walking hard, but it's walking hard in a nice manner. Fear tells you that you will never be enough. Stop letting your fear tell you that you will never be enough. Because if you let your fear tell you that you will never be enough, then you'll let somebody else tell you that you will never be enough. And if you let everybody tell you that you will never be enough, you will eventually believe that you will never be enough. And the moment you start believing that you will never be enough, your life and accomplishments will never be enough. You can never fail if you keep moving forward. I don't care how many times you fall, and you will bust your spine wide open. I don't care how many times you fail. If you only fail when you stop getting back up, period. You are only a failure the moment you quit. It doesn't matter how many times you fail. You will eventually find yourself to success. But if you quit, you will always be a failure. Number four, and I do apologize, but it really gets no lighter than this here. If we aren't afraid, at least some of the times, we aren't learning. I need you guys to understand. If you aren't afraid, you're in your comfort zone. If your goal doesn't make you afraid, it's far too small. It's far too small. If there's no pressure on your job, it's far too easy. If you're not afraid with your income, you ain't buying nothing worth to be afraid for. If you're not investing, listen, if you're not afraid, you're not learning. And if you're not learning, you might as well die, because there's no point in living a life in which you're too smart to learn anything else. A life of complete predictability and familiarity is not a life that is dynamic and ever-changing. If your life is predictable, your life is also not changing. And let me tell you this way. You are in a dying business or church if it's comfortable and predictable. Listen to what I just said. You are in a dying business and church if your church is comfortable and predictable, or your business is comfortable and predictable. Why? Because when something is dead, you know exactly what to expect. But when something is alive and well, it's always a challenge. It's always a meeting. There's always pressure to keep staying on top. Pressure to stay on top comes with being on top. Comfort zone comes with death. And if you're comfortable and your life is predictable and familiar, you're dying and your situation is dead and you cannot be successful. In order to become bigger, better, smarter, you need to embrace fear when it shows up in your life. Number five, sometimes you have to jump and build wings on the way down. Too many of you are getting ready to get ready. You're standing at the cliff. And everybody else is jumping off the cliff and living their dream. And you still checking your parachute. Listen, sometimes you got to jump off the cliff. How you can read a book. You can read a book about swimming all day long. You can master the concepts of swimming, but until you get your butt in the water, you don't know how to swim. I hope I just helped somebody in this place. A lot of you are reading all these business books. You're reading all these self-help books, but you ain't putting nothing into practice. I don't care how many business books you read or how much you read about money and how much you listen to Tony Robbins and Lisa Nichols and Steve Harvey. If you don't get your butt out there and work it, you will never master what you're learning. It's one thing to learn. It's another thing to do. And if you never do the doing, all you are is a thinker, and thinkers are broke. Doers are rich. Thinkers are lazy because they have too many options. Doers are making money. Thinkers are talking about people. Doers are getting talked about. Oh, that one made me feel good. Thinkers are talking about people. Doers are the people that are getting talked about. That great philosopher, Cat Williams, he has in his comedy, one of his comedy shows, he says, you think you're doing well in your Chrysler 300 until somebody pulls up next to you in the Bentley. And then you look at the person in the Bentley with that face like they made a mistake. Don't be mad at the doer for having a Bentley and all you're doing is reading and thinking about getting a Bentley. Get your butt up and go get your Bentley if that's what you want. Either way, if you want to be bigger, better, or smarter person, you need to embrace your fear, show up, and do the work, and jump on the way and get your wings on the way down. You will hit the ground harder than anticipated. So what? Nobody has ever died from failing. You need to fail in order to learn. Now, here's the deal. Let me use a caveat inside of that. Stop learning from your own failures. Get you a mentor, learn from his or her failures, and shorten your learning curve. When you're down on the ground, you can head off in any direction that you choose. All you have to do is start walking. No one has ever died from failure. They died comfortable and afraid of winning. There's no in between. Listen to what I just said. Nobody has ever died trying. They die in their comfort zones and afraid of winning. No one has ever died trying. They die in their comfort zone. You are either dying in your comfort zone or you're dying a winner. You're not anywhere in between. You are either going to die a winner or you're going to die a loser. There's no other option. Stop making up words between winner and loser and making yourself feel comfortable with these made-up words. You're either a winner or you are a loser. You're a winner or you are a loser. There's no in between. Winner, loser. You're either going to die a winner or you're going to die a loser. There is no in between. Number six, every time you overcome fear, you get that much stronger. Every time you overcome fear, you get that much stronger. When you look back on the most exciting growth-filled periods of your life, you will not look back and say, man, I had a wonderful time in my comfort zone. Your most exciting memories will be, man, I jumped out that airplane. Man, that was crazy. I went swimming with the sharks. Man, that was crazy. This was all your exciting, fun-filled periods were when you were outside your comfort zone and fear was present. You cannot have fun in your comfort zone. You can be comfortable in your comfort zone. You can watch Netflix in your comfort zone, but don't let Netflix make you think watching Netflix is fun. Watching Netflix is comfortable. But keep in mind, the more you watch Netflix, the more you're pointing to Netflix economy and the more you're taking out of your own. Number seven, fear means something important is about to happen. Fear means something is important is about to happen. Scientifically, when life was far more dangerous for our ancestors, a far more survival-centered, fear-packed life, fear was an instinctive supernatural power that kept smaller animals alive and helped make them do the next best step for survival. Scientifically, fear was a superpower that kept smaller animals alive from bigger animals. Now, fear manifests itself in ways that keep us from moving forward because the world is a different place. It's the same fear that our primitive ancestors felt, but it affects us differently because the world is a safer place. Instead of being afraid of lions and volcanic environments and other animals and environmental threats, we are now afraid of change and uncertainty and unfamiliar territory. Les Brown tells a story of a judge who was judging someone. And the judge said, you can walk out the door to the right and face the firing squad, or you can go to the door of to the left of unknown things ahead. And the guy chose the door to the right. And everybody after that chose the door to the right. And everybody kept taking the door to the firing squad. And eventually the assistant asked the judge, what is behind the door of uncertainty? And the judge told the assistant, freedom. If you do not hear anything I've said, hear the next thing I'm about to say. Most of you will spend your entire life taking known failures, known abuse, known letdowns, known heartache and pain, known poverty because you know what's coming next instead of the unknown guaranteed success. All of us know if you do certain things, you will be successful. There's no way around it. But the road to success is unknown, and we don't know what's going to happen on that road. So most of you would choose the known boyfriend that's going to hit you upside your head instead of the unknown possibility of leaving that person. Most of you would pick the known job that's going to leave you depressed and give you an ulcer instead of picking the unknown application process to the unknown job in the future. Most of you would pick the known failure over the unknown success ahead because knowing failure is a lot more comfortable than the unknown road to success. Most of you will die in the known path of your life. Most of you would rather take the known path of failure, heartache, abuse, bad credit, broken relationships, because you know how to deal with those things and things like them, than the unknown path that guarantees success because you don't like having no control or little control, because being left in the dark or not knowing what is ahead is uncomfortable for you. Behind every successful area, behind every changed quality of life is fear. Fear hides the good quality of life, and it's always in front of the quality of life in which you desire. All the exciting next steps of your life that lead to big life changes are hidden behind some amount of fear. Number 8, fear is powerful. It is the most effective behavior-controlling emotion known to man, but usually not in a good way. To use fear as motivation, you need to, number one, recognize your vast potential. Look at what we have done with 10% of our brain. Listen, I don't care what anybody tells you. Humans are special. Elephants did not, if you believe in evolution, then that's fine, and I don't care. Elephants did not come out of their elephant status and start building skyscrapers. Fish didn't evolve and start building skyscrapers. Man did that, if you believe in evolution. And I don't care if you believe it or not. Here's the deal. Look at what we've done. We went from building the wheel to self-driving cars. We went to no Wi-Fi to Wi-Fi. And if you think that's funny, let me tell you, Wi-Fi is a hell of a drug. Thank God for Wi-Fi. You need to understand that we are so awesome. We invented Wi-Fi. That's incredible. You are living in the greatest time to ever have lived because what we have done with our human brains. If you don't believe that, look at what we've done. Look at the world around you. Think about how you're communicating with me right now. You have a smart phone. You have a supercomputer in your pocket right now because we have vast potential. If you're going to be afraid, then you need to be afraid of not being on track to reach your full potential. If you're going to be afraid, you need to be afraid of dying in poverty. If you're going to be afraid, you need to be afraid of dying a loser and then do something about it. Fearing that you are on the wrong path without reaching your full potential is much more motivating than any reward-based motivation that you can ever think of. Fear is powerful. Now, I want to spend the last 10 minutes on number 9. It's important. So if you're not driving, I want you to get your note app. You're going to do some math. I just lost half of my audience right there the moment I said math. I do apologize. Let me tell you, it's simple math. Simple math, and I'll walk you through it. So pull up your cell phone. Get the calculator on your cell phone because you would definitely need your calculator. Get your Mac out or your Windows computer or whatever computer you have. Get it out. Here's some math. Think about the age in which you want to die. If it was a perfect world, I want you to think about the age in which you wouldn't mind dying, okay? I want you to think about that. Look at it over your life, and I want you to say, all right, I don't mind dying at whatever age this is. For me, it's 95. I got a little rationale behind why it's 95, because I don't really want to live to be 100 and be dependent, and I ain't trying to die at 80. That just seems too young for me. I want to live to 95. 95 is a good age for me. I'll take that. 95 sounds good. It makes it feel good to me. All right? So think about the age you want to die. Now, here's what I want you to do. If you had your own way, think about the age. It may be 95 for you, maybe 110. I don't care, but think about the age. And I want you to take that number and multiply that number by 365. So in my case, I'm going to take 95 and I'm going to multiply it by 365, and that's going to give me 34,675. I don't know what your number is, but take it. Take the age in which you want to die, and listen, you're going to die. Deal with that, right? Take the age in which you want to die, multiply it by 365. Now, write that number down. Write it down. Don't forget it. Write that number down. It is very important. You're going to need that number, okay? So write that number down. And here's the deal. Once you have that number down, it's a large five-digit number somewhere in 34,000, whatever it is. Now, take that number and divide it by 4. Once you take that large number, divide it by 4, you're going to get another number. That's all the leap days in that number, okay? So you can remember, you got every 4 years, you have leap years, right? Then take that number and add it to the original number you just had, okay? Now, if you didn't like that part, don't worry about it. Do 95 times 365, get that big number, and then don't worry about the leap day. Everybody's good? All right, good. Everybody's good. You got 95 times 365, you got 34,675. That's how many days you have left on Earth. So remember that number, 34,675, or whatever your number is. Now, take your current age and multiply that by 365. In my case, I'm 35 years old, so I'm going to multiply it by 365, and I'm going to get 12,775 days. That's approximately how long I've been on planet Earth. Now, I want you to take that smaller number, your age times 365, and I want you to subtract it from your original number, okay? When you subtract your age now from your original number, here's what you have come up with. You've come up with approximately how many days you have left on planet Earth. I know that's scary. I get it. It's scary, but you need to deal with that. You need to deal with the fact that you don't have forever, okay? So here's what you've just done. You took 365, and you multiplied by the age in which you wanted to die. You got that number. You memorized it, 34,000-something. And then you take in how old you are now. You multiply that by 365. You got something like 12,000. And you've taken 34,000 minus 12,000, and you've arrived at a number of something like this, 21,882 days, okay, if you're young like me. If you're in your 50s and you're on this phone call, you've arrived at something like 13,000 days. If you're in your 70s and you're on this phone call, you've arrived at something like 4,000 days. You got 4,000 days left, 12,000 days left. Why would you waste those days in fear? How many more of those days would you want to live in fear? How many more of those days do you want to spend being married to the wrong person? How many more of those days do you want to be working on the wrong job? How many more of those days do you want to live the cycle? Get up, pay my bills, go home and do nothing. How many more of those days do you want to spend in tears? You don't have time left. Stop lying to yourself. You don't have as much time as you think. Your life is ending. Get that number. Take the age in which you want to die now. I do this, like my approximate number. I do this every morning I wake up. I got 21,882 days left on planet Earth, approximately. And every day I wake up, I go into my little note app on my phone, and I take out one of the numbers, and I subtract it by one. And every day I wake up, I realize I am dying, and I only have a certain amount of days left. Do you think I deal with stupid people? Do you think I deal with people that are not worth my time? And I'm not talking about not helping people, help the homeless, do all that stuff. That is what you're supposed to do. I'm talking about, do you think I deal with the people who want me in tears? Do you think that I deal with the people who want me sad? There's no point in living a life when all you have is 4,000 days left. When you realize all you have is 4,000 days left, you spend your meetings in a lot shorter than what it was. You stop doing the things that you don't like to do. You stop doing the things that you hate doing. When you realize you have 12,000 days left on planet Earth, you stop dealing with people who do nothing but underestimate you. You stop dealing with people. You stop trying to impress people you've been trying to impress for the last 30 years. Why in the world are you still trying to impress people you have not been able to impress a single day in your life? Let me tell you guys something. Some of the people you're trying to be impressed will never be impressed with you until you die. Hear me. The people you're trying to impress will only be impressed with you when they're speaking over your funeral, trying to get 15 minutes of fame. Ooh, child, I loved him very much. Child, she was somebody I loved. They lying, and they wanted you to die so they can lie over your grave. You listen, let me repeat this for you. Those you just called on, I want you to take your age that you want to die, whatever age that it may be, 102, 103, and I want you to multiply that by 365. When you get that date, I want you to take your current age, and I want you to multiply that by 365. And then I want you to subtract your current age days from the age that you wish that you would die. Do that, and you're going to be left with something like 12,000 days, something like 6,000 days, something like 4,000. If you left with 4,000 days and you spending time with the wrong people, you dead wrong. It makes no sense for you to spend your last days on earth with people that are not improving the quality of your life. That's not rude. It is not rude for you to spend time with people who are ruining and sucking the energy force right out of you. So I hope you hear what I'm saying. Your days are numbered. Stop thinking you have tomorrow, because here's the deal. If your number equals 12,000, who's to say you're actually going to live that long? Who says you're going to be able to live the 20,000 days left? Who actually told you that you're actually going to live to be 95 years old? Because there are people who did not wake up this morning at your age. You know people your age that have been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. You can die on a plane, boat, car crash. You get hit by a drunk driver. You don't know what's going to happen in your life. You don't know if it's going to be a natural cause, a malicious act, terrorist. I don't know what's going to happen, but what I do know is you do not have time left to be living in fear. Take your days. Get that 34,000 number, 24,000 number, whatever it is, and subtract it by the life that you have now. And here are my next words. For the next 2 minutes, You don't get to live in fear no more and claim that you love your children. Because the more that you claim you love your children while living in the fear is the more that you tell them that they need to live in fear. And here's the deal. You have 20,000 days left on this earth. Your children potentially have 30,000 days left on this earth, 40,000 days left on this earth. Why are you dooming your children to live all 40,000 days that they have on this earth to mediocrity? Stop saying you love your kids. Stop saying you love your spouse if you're living in fear. If you're living in fear, you're robbing yourself, your legacy, and your family of what they deserve and the quality of life they deserve. Some of you are so afraid to go back to college that you don't even have children yet, and yet you're dooming them already because you are not increasing your income because you're afraid to go back to college. Some of you are so afraid to go back to college that you're teaching your 6 and 7 year old daughter and son. If mommy's afraid, if daddy's afraid, you can be afraid too. Don't worry about it. Doom yourself to live at McDonald's. Listen, stop living in fear, because the more you live in fear is the more you doom your children, spouses, loved ones, and yourself the opportunity to live average. My name is Antonio T. Smith, Jr. Here's what I can tell you for sure. There's a difference between thinkers and doers. Doers heard this phone call and decided, I would not live in fear another day. I'm done. This is my last day. I invite you to repeat it with me. I will not live in fear. I'm done. I will not live in fear. I am done. I will not live in fear. I am done. I don't care if you're a thinker. I don't care if you're a doer. But at some point, you have to start doing. My name is Antonio T. Smith, Jr. This is the Plant Better Mindset phone call. If you miss any bit of this information, don't worry about it. It will be on the podcast Brick by Brick, the motivational podcast by myself. Listen, it doesn't matter how you feel about yourself. What does matter is you're the greatest person on planet Earth to ever live in your body. Nobody has ever spoke with your voice but you. Whether you love your life or whether you hate your life, I sure hope you love it. But if you hate it, you can simply plant better. Thank you. Be on this phone call next Sunday. Antonio T. Smith, Jr., God bless you for coming out. God bless you and good night.
There's something inside of you that nobody can take from you, that nothing can ever come against, that nothing can ever stop. You were meant to be great. You were meant to be the most amazing you that has ever lived. Nobody can speak with your voice better than you. You have come here to be amazing. Not average, not good, not great. Amazing. And then when you reach amazing, you exceed that and you go to spectacular. This is your time. Build your life brick by brick. You are enough. You've been enough. You will always be enough. You can only be nothing but enough. And then more than that, you are the greatest. Build your life. Be it. Do it. See it. And then give it back to others. Brick by brick.